Good morning again. It's good to see you all. Glad you chose to be here this morning and were able to make it to join us in worship through song and prayer and now through the Word. As Mike said, we've been working through the Scriptures. We started in Genesis, and though we're not working through book by book as they are in our English translations, we're working through the historical story as things progressed. And one of the things that takes place is the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel both become more and more immoral and less godly as time goes on. And in the midst of that, God is sending the prophets to woo the people back to Him, to draw them, to give them His affection in hope that through His giving they will choose to come back. And so in the midst of the historical accounts of this king and that king and the wars and the problems and the good things comes the prophets. And so now we're looking at the northern kingdom of Israel, the tribes that split away from Solomon's son Rehoboam and followed Jeroboam. And we're looking at the prophets that spoke to the northern kingdom, the prophets that were from the northern kingdom, and the message that they had for the people. And this morning that brings us to the book of Hosea. Hosea is the first of what is called the Book of the Twelve, or in our vernacular we often refer to them as the Minor Prophets. And so if you want to turn there, it's after the Book of Daniel. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea. About two-thirds, not quite two-thirds of the way through your Bible, if you just don't have a big concordance and a whole bunch of maps and other stuff at the back, it is the book of Hosea. Now, as we do life, here's what I know. There aren't many of us, if there are any of us, who haven't seen the negative effects that immorality can have on marriage, on a family, on an extended family for generations, and even on a community. You see, our generations are not the first, and they surely will not be the last, to experience the truth that immorality has consequences. And that's why Yahweh put restrictions on relationships. That's why He told them about how marriage was supposed to work when He told His people how they were to live together as a nation. That's why He told them the consequences that were supposed to be carried with different sins of immorality. Because He knew the harm. Not just for one person or two people, but for a family, an extended family, the community, and even the nation. It's also why the prophet Malachi proclaims in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel," because God knew the negative effects of immorality. Yet when we look at the book of Hosea, we come across a situation where Yahweh, well, He's going to divorce His wife, Israel, the northern tribes. He's going to divorce them, He says. But beyond that, as we come to the book of Hosea, He asks His prophet to do something that seems unthinkable. He asks Hosea, His prophet, to marry an immoral woman, and very possibly a prostitute, and at that, maybe even a prostitute at a shrine to the god Baal, and then to have children.
three children are born, and the latter two of those children are conceived as evidently Gomer, Hosea's wife, is stepping out on their first attempt at marriage, leaving their patrimony very much in question. And in this case, as with several of the prophetic plays or act messages, Yahweh asks his prophet to do something drastic, to make a shock and give an impactful marriage or a message. You see, Yahweh wanted to shock the people so much that the message that he was giving through his prophet would last and have a great impact on them. Now, you and I probably would not appreciate being called prostitutes or whores or adulterers, but sometimes we need to have an extremely shocking revelation. For far too often, we get comfortable with the society around us, and we stray from the one who is supposed to be our primary love. And so we too, like the nation of Israel and also the nation of Judah, we need to hear the message of Hosea. We need to hear the wooing of the prostitute by the God who loves each and every one of us. So with that before us this morning, I want to start in Hosea chapter 1, and then we'll get back to some more of the book of Hosea, because like Gomer, the wife of Hosea, and like Israel, we tend to go back to what we know. And we tend to go back to what we are comfortable with, rather than worshiping the God who wants to give us what is best for us and not just use us for what we have. And so, it begins in the book of Hosea, the first three chapters are the description, are the account of Hosea marrying Gomer, the problems in the marriage, and then the bringing Gomer back to a relationship. And then you turn from chapter 3 and you turn over to chapter 4 and you begin to see that God is going to through the prophet Hosea, tell the people that you are just like Gomer. And that things are going to get bad, and things are going to go from bad to worse, and things are going to go from worse to unimaginable. And then I will bring you back. And so we're going to begin this morning looking at God and Baal from the story of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son." God and Baal is where it begins. Hosea and Gomer, God and Baal. And here's what we find, that the Israel is trying to worship these two gods side by side. They're trying to carry out their worship to Yahweh while they're also worshiping the Baals. There is this hope that if they worship God or gods, and they worship the right one in the right way, he will do the right things for them at the right time. And Baal was a god of the thunder and the lightning, the god that provided the rains for the crops to grow. He was the god of the Canaanites. He was the God of those people around them that lived amongst them and that they lived amongst, who believe that Baal controlled fertility. Baal controlled the fertility of the ground, the fertility of the animals, the fertility of a family. And God had told the people beforehand, before they came into the land, He said, if you will worship Me, your cattle will never miscarry. Your land will always produce abundantly. He said, you will never have a barren womb among you. God said before they came into the land that He would do this. And here's the thing. Satan doesn't care if you worship God and worship a little g God. Satan doesn't care if you try to worship Yahweh and Baal. As long as you are giving some of your attention to something other than the Creator of the universe, Satan doesn't care. And in fact, Satan really likes it that way. Satan really likes it if you think that you're worshiping Yahweh while you're worshiping these other gods. Because here's what he knows. The other gods always win. Because they don't ask nearly as much. And they promise the unbelievable. The unquestionable. And Satan doesn't care. And he doesn't care what false religion it is that you choose to worship, as long as you're worshiping something. And we're all going to worship something. Now, some people in this world look at the universe and they, like Brenna mentioned, say that there is no God. They're atheistic. They say there just isn't a God. And some of them are a little more honest about their statements, and they would be agnostic, and they would say, we don't see any evidence for God, and we're not sure that there even is a God, but if He is, we're not going to worship Him. And then there's those who, well, they really fall into one of those two camps, but if you follow their lives, you find that they are humanistic in their views, or materialistic in their views, or they worship the God of science, they worship the God of technology, they worship the God of whatever, claiming that they don't believe in God. But you hear it very much in the things that they say. You see it in the things that they write. You see it in the ways that they act. They worship this other God, whether they want to admit it or not. And Satan's okay with that. And Satan's okay with it when we look at the world around us and we say, you know what? We're going to give in a little bit to science over here. We know what God has said, but we're just going to cozy up to science because, well, it just looks so right, and it's so much easier to say, you know what? There's God over here, and He takes care of these areas, and then there's science over here. And if I give in to science, I don't have to worry so much about these other things. And so we come to areas of life where we can say, well, you know what? It's not a sin. And you don't have to worry about guilt because psychology says it was a mistake. And we just need to deal with it in our emotions. We don't have to worry about the consequences of sin because we're just going to cover over the emotions. Not that there isn't some good to psychology, but it becomes a god to help us get away from the consequences of sin. Or we listen to modern psychology that says, you know what? You're whoever you want to be. And you do whatever you want to do, and it's okay because that's the way you were born. Instead of God saying, you know what? I created them male and female. Male and female, I created them. They say, well, God just created us, and I think I'm going to be whatever I want to be. And so I just pretend. And my brain tells me, and I tell myself it's okay, and society says it's okay. You see, Israel thought that they could worship God and they could worship Baal, and for Satan that was okay. And Baal didn't care. Baal didn't care if you brought in another god besides him. As long as you were faithful to him, he didn't care. You know, if you brought the right sacrifices to Baal and you did the right things at the right time, you believed that Baal was going to prosper you, and Satan and Baal said, that's okay. And it was okay with them if you wanted to worship the gods of the Babylonians or the gods of the Assyrians or the gods of the Egyptians or the gods of the people of the Far East or the gods of the people of the West, or even if you wanted to worship Yahweh. Baal doesn't care. Baal doesn't care who you worship. But God does. Yahweh does care. Because Yahweh wants what's best for you. Yahweh cares who you worship. That's why in Exodus chapter 20, as God is giving the people the commandments, He says that I am your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, this is not the idea of there's this line of gods and Yahweh is at the front of the line and we can't bring another god in front of Him. No, this is the idea of being in a marriage and saying, I have one spouse and one spouse alone and I cannot bring another woman into her presence. You know, Brenna would not be okay if I brought another woman home and said, I'm just going to add her to our family. Well, she was okay with it when it was Lauren and when it was Lainey, but that's a little different than if I just went out today and I started finding another woman and I just brought her in and I had another woman besides Brenna. So before is in the presence of. We are not to have another God in the presence of Yahweh because there are no other gods. Or it's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and I know He's talking about money, and it applies to money, but it applies to anything. We could add anything besides money here. The thing is by the time that Jesus was speaking to the Jews that had been Hellenized into the Roman and the Greek cultures, money had become, and money is for us many times, the primary God that we want to worship beside Yahweh. And God says, or Jesus says this, He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve Yahweh and any other God. Yahweh is exclusive. You see, the Baals didn't care, but Yahweh does. Yahweh says no other gods. He says you can't serve two gods. You can only serve one. And Satan wants us to serve as many as possible, but Yahweh says, I am the only one. And a little bit later, James, the brother of Jesus, says this. And like I said, we may not like what James says to us, but we have to listen awfully carefully. Just like the people of Israel needed to listen to Hosea, just like the warning to adulterous Israel, he warns his people today through James. And in James chapter 4, verse 4, James says this. He says, you adulterous people. Well, actually, I'm going to skip back. I'm going to read back in verse 3. He says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, you ask that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with God or friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. You adulterous people, don't you see it? You ask for things not because we want to serve God, but because we want to serve our own pleasures. And if you read the book of Hosea, what you find is the thing that God is charging the Israelites with is taking the gifts that He is giving them and prostituting themselves to the gods around them and to the foreign nations around them, and taking the good gifts that God has given and giving them away for sex, for prostitution with these other gods and with these other nations. God says, I'm blessing you, but you're taking the blessings and fulfilling your own passions. And if you read the analogy correctly, and if you read some of the other prophets, what you find is that the prostitution that God is charging the Israelites is backwards. Because if you look at the world around us and you look at prostitution, when somebody goes into a prostitute, they pay the prostitute. But what God is saying is that Israel, as the prostitute, is paying the Johns. She's paying the ones who are coming into her instead of receiving the payment. And Yahweh cares. Yahweh cares who it is you worship. We go on to chapter 2 of the book of Hosea, and it moves from the first marriage and the naming of the children, and trust me, you if you look at the names of those children and you look at their meanings, God was doing something and God was saying something drastic to get the people's attention, because He wanted them to hear the message. I mean, when you name your children, you are not loved and you are not my people, and you're not doing your children a service. You're not naming your children in the way that people normally name their children. You might name your children, you are loved, but to say you are not loved? That's what God asks for. That's what Hosea does. And then in chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, and going through verse 13, God is speaking to Israel as if she is the prostitute who has walked away from the marriage. And He says this, He says, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, who lavished on her the silver and the gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen, intended to cover her naked body. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hand. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed festivals. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but she forgot me, declares the Lord. God is telling Israel what He is getting ready to do. He's telling her, just like, well, there was this period in the relationship between Hosea and Gomer where Gomer walked away and Gomer gave herself and Hosea just let her go. Oh, we don't know why. We don't know why he didn't follow her. We don't know. that much about it. We just know that there was this period of time where Hosea says, I'm washing my hands of Gomer. She's not my wife anymore. She's gone, she's doing her own thing, and I'm just going to let her go because, well, evidently he just couldn't deal with it anymore. He couldn't deal with the pain. He couldn't deal with the emotional heartache. He couldn't deal with the questions about where she was and what she was doing when he wasn't with her. He knew the anguish of the situation. He knew the heartache, the pain that immorality brings. And he just let her go. But God says, I'm going to take it a step farther. I'm going to take it a step farther. Not only am I just going to let them go, but I am going to bring punishment upon them. I'm going to bring punishment upon my people. And when the person that you are looking to for safety becomes your adversary, when the person who is supposed to be your protection becomes your enemy, you have something to fear. And Israel had gotten to the point where God says, I am no longer going to be your protection. I am going to be your prosecutor. I'm going to be your punisher. I'm going to be the one who brings justice to you. And I'm going to take away all the good things that you think you have been given by these other gods that I have given to you. I'm going to take them away, and systematically you are going to face the consequences. And if you read through the book of Hosea, you find that there are several times when God uses descriptions of what He will become for the Israelites that aren't things that we would commonly think of giving to God. And one comes much later in the book, and in several of the English translations, it says that a moth and rot, or a moth and destruction. But as I was studying this week, I found that what God probably is saying is that I will become, I will become like a pussy sore and gangrene to you. Have you ever thought about calling God rot or a pussy sore and calling God gangrene? Yet that's what God says about Himself. He says to the people of Israel, I will become like an infectious disease that is going to destroy you. If you keep trying to worship the Baals beside me, if you will not just either get rid of me and say we no longer are serving Yahweh, or we will get rid of the Baals, the false gods, and we will worship Yahweh exclusively, because Yahweh says it's exclusive. He says, I will become a nightmare to you. And lest we think that ended with Jesus, lest we think that something changed in God's attitude towards His people from the Old Testament to the New Testament, He says this through the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, he says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear His name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? The time for judgment has begun, and it begins with the household of God. God is saying through Peter, He says, I will be the judge, and if you claim to follow me, you better be prepared to face judgment before the rest of the world. You better be ready to face some judgment now for the times that you fail to follow through. You see, we like a God who's going to give us all kinds of things. We like a God who's going to bless us with health. We like a God who's going to bless us with friends. We like a God who's going to bless us with freedom. We like a God who's going to bless us. But God says, if you try to worship Baal and you try to worship me, if you try to worship money and you try to worship me, if you try to worship science and you try to worship me, if you try to worship health and you try to worship me, you better expect that judgment is going to start with you. Because it is an exclusive relationship. And judgment begins against His people. And then if you keep reading the book of Hosea, you find that God says, I'm going to judge my people by taking away from them the gifts, the blessings that I have promised and I have bestowed upon them, that they have been giving credit to these false gods, and I am going to then bring judgment against the false gods. He says, later in the book, he says, I have promised fertility, and you try to give Baal the credit for fertility. You know what? Even if you had kids, even if you could have kids, a foreign army would come and take them away from you. Even if I gave you the ability to have kids, which I'm not going to for a while, even if I gave you that ability, you wouldn't see your kids grow up because they would be taken away from you. He says, you know what? If I were to give the ground the ability to grow a great harvest, you know what? You wouldn't get to experience it because foreigners would come in and they would snatch it up and they would eat it and they would enjoy the produce of your hard work. And you would be left with nothing. He says, if you had any money, if you had any gold, or if you had any silver, you know what? I would take it away from you. Foreigners would come in and they would demand. They wouldn't ask. They would demand that you gave them all of it. Every last ounce of gold and silver, and then they would go through and make sure that they gave it to you, or you gave it to them. And they would take it by force if they had to. If you had any ability to make any income, I would strip it away from you. Because here's the thing, those are the things that the people were worshiping as they were worshiping the Baals, and God said, I'm going to punish the gods that you are worshiping, and you will know that they are nothing. We today, we like peace and we like comfort. And you know what God says? He says, if you begin to worship peace and comfort over me, I'll deal with peace. I'll deal with your comfort. He says, if you look to health, I can take your health away. He says, if you worship pleasure, I can make it so you won't experience a day of pleasure the rest of your life. If you worship money, the stock market can crash tomorrow. Whatever it is, whatever the God is that you look to supply your needs, God says, I will bring judgment against it. And He can, and He will. And we as the people of God should not discount the fact that God can become our enemy, and the things that we think God says He will give to us, He can take away from us if we turn our hearts from Him. And we have to be careful, because it's all too easy for us to try to worship the Baals and to worship Yahweh at the same time. Finally, in the story of Hosea, we come to chapter 3. We come to the end of the account of Gomer and Hosea. Try to put those two names together and just shorten it, I guess. Hosea and Gomer in chapter 3, and it says, the Lord said to me, go show love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loved the Israelites, though they turned to other gods and loved the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her back for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to His blessings in the last day. God has promised that He would bring His people back. He promised that there would come a day when they would quit looking outside of Him for what only He can provide. And we know with the northern tribes, they were defeated about 50 years after Hosea by the Assyrians. The very ones that Jonah went and prophesied to and told them they needed to repent of their wickedness. The Assyrians are going to come and destroy the nation of Israel and take away a bunch of captives and leave some of the poorer people in the land to take care of the land. But God says there will come a time when I will call them back. I will go and I will buy them back again, and they will be my people again, and they no longer will worship these false gods. These gods that aren't really gods. But it takes time. You see, there are two parts to this. There is the part that we in our vernacular as followers of Christ, we call justification. It is that point when we are made right with God. It's that point when Hosea goes and he pays the price, the silver and the barley, he pays the price to reclaim Gomer. And she becomes his wife again. God provides us with justification. He makes us right. He buys us back. Our position is restored, but the relationship is not what it was before. Gomer bought back, or Hosea bought back Gomer, and he brought her home, and he says, "You're my wife, and you shall not be a prostitute anymore, and I will wait for you." He made her his wife, but that doesn't mean that the relationship was restored. Because there is a second part to the process. Another big word, we talk about sanctification. If justification means we've been bought back, sanctified means that we are being restored to what we're called to be. We're in the process. It's kind of like if you go out and you buy a classic car and you bring it home and it's in pretty rough shape and you start the process of restoration. You've bought it, it's yours, justification. Now you've got the process of restoration that begins. And so you take the engine out and you take the seats out and you take it down to the bare shell and you begin by sanding and buffing, and you begin by replacing broken pieces in the transmission, the transfer case. You begin by getting everything you need together, and you begin one piece by one piece to put it back together. And Hosea looks at Gomer and he says, for many days we'll live together, but we won't experience intimacy physically. As we begin to work through the process of restoring and rebuilding the spiritual intimacy that's necessary for the relationship to be restored. And God says to us, He says, "I will buy you back and you're mine." But the process of becoming what you're called to be takes time. It doesn't happen all at once. Change occurs incrementally. The more we are with Him, the more we want to be like Him. The more we want to be like Him, the more we strive to live the way He lives. And it continues over and over in process after process, in thoughts and deeds and in what we experience, we begin to be more like Him as we are with Him. And God is saying through the prophet Hosea to the people of Israel, I want you to come back to Me. Put away the Baals. Put away the Ashtaroths. Put away the gods of the Assyrians and the gods of the Babylonians. Put away the gods of the Egyptians. And worship Me alone. And He would look at us today and He would say, put away the gods of comfort. Put away the gods of entertainment. Put away the gods of knowledge and the gods of money, the gods of pleasure, the gods of entertainment, the gods of recreation, and worship Me. Come to Me and Me alone. And just like Hosea was wooing Gomer, Yahweh was wooing Israel and Judah. And now Yahweh is wooing us. And He bought us with a price. He bought us with the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. More than gold and silver, more than silver and barley, He paid the ultimate price. Because He wants to woo you back to Himself. And if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the blood is there because He wants to buy you like Gomer for the first time. He knows that we aren't perfect. He knows that we've made mistakes. He knows that we have given ourselves in worship to other things. And He wants to make you His child. He wants to purchase you if you will accept the blood that was shed. Yet for many of us, we know the benefits of a relationship, but we've strayed. We've turned to the things of the world and looked to them for strength, for peace, for wisdom, for our own salvation at times. And we, like Gomer, have become the prostitute who strays from a loving, providing husband. And God is wooing. God is wooing every one of us back to Him. To worship Him exclusively. Let's stand together this morning as we sing another song, a song of worship, Living for Jesus. And if you need to make a commitment, if you need to come this morning and for the first time to accept the blood of Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism, to have Him become your Savior, we'd love to celebrate that with you today. But for many of us, it's not that. It's we need to come back wholeheartedly. We just need to lift up our hearts to the Spirit and say, we are Yours. I'm Yours. Please help me. Serve You and You alone. Let's stand, let's sing together.